Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. Welcome to episode 315. How are you doing? You look fantastic. As always, thank you for joining me for the program today. Before we even get into it, I would like to thank Marcus for being here tonight, who's part of the live studio audience. If you like the show, there's a link in the description, in the thing below, to the Patreon, where you can become a live audience member. Thank you. Hello, you look great. Some things I would like to talk about before we get into the program. A friend of mine has died. He's gone. He was around since 05. He was important to me, and we hadn't spoken in quite a while, and I feel awful. Because he was there when I needed him the most. You know what I mean? He was one of those friends when I was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. He was there. And now he's gone. And there's not much I can do. And, you know, I could have been a better friend. I could have reached out more. I'm trying to think of when the last time he and I really, really conversated. But Microsoft has killed off the Xbox 360 marketplace. I'm sorry. I'm saying this and I'm reading the live chat and I just see, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear this. And I'll try not to laugh because no one really died. It's just Microsoft took down a thing that was 19 years old that people were still using. And because of it, I'm so sorry. I really feel awful. I read that and I felt really bad about it. I really apologize. they took it down. It's gone. It's gone forever. There's still remnants of it in modern day Xbox One and Series X. You could buy some of the 360 titles, but a lot of stuff is left behind. I believe it was like, there's about 200 games that are being left behind, Kyle told me, because of this. You can't buy Sonic 06 anywhere. You can't buy, I believe, certain Avatar items. There's certain themes that are going to be stuck on the 360. I don't think you could use them on Series X because I can't. Some of the premium themes that I had, like I had the Fallout 3 one, and I'm pretty sure I can't use that. I wish there was a way that I could emulate my 360 on my Series X, the way I kind of have like, oh, here's my, you know, like here's all my stuff. And like, I can just have it come up and look like a 360 dashboard where like, you know, it had the panels and you would see like your friends. And on the Fallout 3 one, the little avatar men would pop up and you could see like, oh, this person looks like they're in Megaton. This person looks like they're in a dilapidated house. And it was neat, but they got rid of it. And it's sad. It's actually really sad. It really felt like one of those moments where my childhood had ended. And as I get older, it feels like these full circle moments that have just continuously happened of, hey, this is a thing that was important to you and is now gone. And to see that the Xbox Live Marketplace, the 360 Marketplace, Xbox Live Arcade is gone, it's sad. I wasn't like the biggest, like, oh, I got to get all this stuff. I got to play all these games. I didn't really have, I didn't have my own debit card until I was pretty much out of high school. So I couldn't put my card to my Xbox and buy stuff. Even though I was working, even though I had money, like I had money, the money that a 15-year-old has, but you know what I mean? Like I didn't have those things. Castle Crashers. What actually really pissed me off is I bought San Andreas is one of my favorite games of all time. Might be like 5, maybe 7, who knows? On a good day, maybe a 4 of all time. And I can't play it, the original version, on my Xbox, even though I own the 360 copy on my Microsoft account. And if I don't have it downloaded to my 360, which I don't believe I did, I don't have access to it anymore. Because you're not, this is why you buy physical games, everybody. This is why you buy physical games. Even GameStop tweeted out, bet you're still buying physical copies now, don't you? And then someone replied to that one with just how GameStops have become Funko Pop stores. But still, like, you can go. I went into a GameStop recently and I saw a copy of San Andreas for like $35. And I was like, I have bought this game like every 5 years since it came out. No, I didn't buy it the year it came out, but still, like, I feel like I've bought that game so many times. And I can't play it. And I don't want to play the definitive version because it doesn't have half of the music that's in the game. And I have it for the PS2, but my disc is messed up. I actually thought my PS2 was broken. And it just turns out it was the disc. And, you know, it's not an expensive game, but it also is because of the Definitive Edition. And now, because Xbox has shut down their store, it's only going to get more expensive. Everything that was on 360, the physical copies are going to probably shoot up anywhere from $5 to $10 to $15 to $299. Because nothing goes down in... Have you noticed this, that nothing goes down in price? I have a copy of Pokemon Heart Gold and Pokemon Soul Silver, and I looked up their prices recently, and they're like $250 each. And I just have a copy of each one sitting at my mom's place on the other side of the country that I live in. So what am I supposed to do? Like, do I keep them? They're the best Pokemon games, but do I keep them? That's just the world we live in right now. The world we live in right now is just the everything increases. The Paper Mario Thousand Year Door game I do not enjoy. Don't really like it. That type of RPG doesn't do anything to me. I got it when I was really young. I have it for a while. That was like a $130 game. They re-released it on Switch and it dropped to about $60-$70. I can only imagine people are going to want the original and it's going to go back up for collecting purposes. Another game that I have at my mom's house that I just need to get rid of. So, the Xbox Arcade, the Xbox 360 marketplace is shut down. And with it, a large piece of my childhood kind of goes quietly into the night. I hold a high reverence for the 360. It's probably my favorite console ever, to be completely honest. I think it made me realize that I am an Xbox guy and not a PlayStation guy. And not just because of Bethesda, not just because of, you know, I love The Last of Us. It's one of my favorite games ever. But I don't think I'm a PlayStation guy. But let me know, what were some of your favorite memories of the 360 store, of all the games that you bought? Maybe you bought, were you a big Castle Miner Z guy? Castle Crashers? Actually, I should go see if I can go download Castle Crashers, because that is a game that is getting a new update in, like, this year, which is bonkers that it's still being updated. But let me know. I'd love to hear it. So I would like to get into this week's lore. This is a Fallout-themed show after all. But before I can get into the lore, I have to thank some people. The following names are supporting on Patreon, and you can support too if you like the show. There's a link below in the thingamabob that you can check out. There's a bunch of different tiers. There's some people that are here tonight. Marcus, I have to thank you. I'll do it real quick. I did it at the top of the hour. I'll do it again, and I'll do it again in a minute. I have to thank, because their support has kept the show going. They have faith in the program and me, and because of that, the show can continue. So starting at the top, I have to start with the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus, who again is here tonight. Thank you. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. Like I said, these fine folks, these good, great names, these handsome individuals, all are supporting over on the Patreon. And if you'd like to be part of the show every Wednesday, about 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, you can show up, hang out a bit, and become part of the show. I'd like to thank these fine folks one more time. Thank you. I love you. So if you've been following the program for a bit, you might know that I've been going through a little bit of tech problems, a little bit of tech issues. Still haven't gotten into my computer, still been incredibly busy. Life is a hard thing, and I'm trying to do a ton of things and also work on a bunch of other stuff, and I just haven't had the chance to get into it. But what I did find out is I can get New Vegas to run on my laptop, which I think is a miracle. So I have New Vegas here on my laptop, and I want to see if I can get Fallout 3 to work. And if Fallout 3 works, this laptop might be new enough where I could run Fallout 4 on my laptop and not have to get footage off of my base model PS4. So I want to see how Fallout 3 runs on my laptop. So this week I went over to the Patreon, the Gooman Entertainment Patreon, and I said, hey, what companion would you like to hear about from Fallout 3? And I gave two options. I gave a woman, Star Paladin Cross, who is at your birth, the Lone Wanderer's birth, or Clover, a woman of ill repute, who kind of has her own weird cult following. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, check out the Patreon, because even at the $1 tier, the cheapest tier that I am allowed to offer, your voice is heard every week when I ask a poll question, and you get to choose what this week's lore will be. So by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you the lore on Clover from Fallout 3. So we have an anniversary coming up. August 17th is the day that the Lone Wanderer leaves the Vault, Vault 101, in search of his father, James, right? It's not a date that I feel like a lot of people in the fandom remember or recognize, and I'm not saying that in a good or a bad way, it's just something, it's a fun fact that I like a lot that I wish we acknowledged more. Now, a few months before that, before him leaving 101, there are two women who are captured. Clover and Crimson. They're captured by slavers and turned into prostitutes. And the woman we're going to be speaking about is Clover. Her special is a strength of 6, perception of 4, endurance of 4, charisma of 6, intelligence of a 4, an agility of 6, and a luck of 5. Now, because I'll never not be upset that we didn't get this version of the game in the States, or at least in this half of my hemisphere, the Fallout Shelter online, I'll put it on screen right now. The artwork is super dope for Clover. She's got the same outfit on, she's got the slave collar, but she's working the pole, and she's got, like, neon binder and a sawed-off shotgun just, like, bow in somebody's... Not that there's anybody there, but, like, she's pointing it towards a person, be it the person, look, whatever. And it's really cool, and there's so much good Fallout Shelter online art that we're just, you have to go on the wiki to see. And I, by the way, I get all my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Wikipedia, if you will. And the only way for you to see it is to go there on the wiki, or like find someone who speaks Mandarin so you can see how the game is played and they translate it for you. I'd prefer to just play it myself. Now, they're slaves. Clover and Crimson are slaves, and they're mentally broken down. They are mentally taken advantage of, and they are essentially brainwashed into believing that Eulogy Jones is the man for them, and that he knows what is best for them, and he is just a good person when he's really, truly not. They've been brainwashed and turned into Eulogy Jones's personal slaves. Crimson, we're not going to talk too much about Crimson, but she seems to have retained some of who she is. She'll kind of be a little combative with the other slaves there, Eulogy slavers. She has a little bit of herself still there, but, you know, that Stockholm syndrome, per se. I'm not a doctor, so I can't diagnose anybody with anything, but this, like, Stockholm-y syndrome-esque whatever that they have is present in her, but not as deeply as it is in Clover. Clover will kill on command, have sex with anyone on command, pretty much anything you can think of. She is fully devoted to her owner, and her owner at this particular junction is Eulogy Jones. You can hear some conversations that happened between Clover and Eulogy, and I just want to preface, what I'm about to read is in-game, but it's two different instances of dialogue that can happen, and I've kind of taken the creative liberty to meld them together. So you might not hear this exact thing, but you'll hear snippets of it. Clover will say, "Mr. Eulogy, can I talk to you for a second? If you're not busy, Mr. Eulogy, I wanted to talk to you for just a second." Eulogy can reply with, "Why are you bothering me, Clover? What do you want now?" And she'll respond with, "I wanted to talk to you about Crimson. I think maybe it's time you let her go, like you said you would, so that we could be together alone." And Eulogy Jones will say, "We talked about this before, haven't we? So why do you think nagging me will actually help? That's not your call. Hasn't ever been. You leave her alone except when I tell you not to." And Clover will respond with, "Yes, Daddy. I'm sorry, Daddy." Which is just a great thing that I have now recorded that and is on the internet for the rest of times for someone to take out of context. Eulogy Jones is incredibly abusive. He's also possessive of both Clover and Crimson. And that's because Eulogy Jones is very much a stereotypical pimp. Not just because he wears a fantastic zoot suit. I remember the first time I ever got to Paradise Falls, where you can find Clover, I shot him in the mouth because the ops was talking crazy. No, because I wanted to get his suit and wear it, even though it only does like, I don't know what the stats on it are, but it's something crazy, and I was already a charisma build, so it didn't help me a ton. It was just a little extra on top, but still, That suit goes crazy, bro. That suit goes dumb hard. He can be... Some of the things you can overhear him saying to her is, haven't I said to you that I hate to wait? Why do you always have to make me wait? What's wrong with you? And damn right you're sorry. When I say something, you better listen. Just abusive shit that, you know, someone with a weakened mindset, someone who has been broken down mentally and then been rebuilt in the image of someone who they want them to be, you know, you can take advantage of this. And she's very docile towards him, but also he has some quotes about her that I'll be reading shortly that proves she's just nuts about him. He will say all these things to her and she will apologize about all of it, even when she's absolutely not in the wrong. And all of this while wearing her slave collar. There is just a bit of... It's almost poetic. It's almost poetic how you can see a character who is so beaten down and they think that they're doing what's right. They think they are totally in control of their own life. And then you see something like a slave collar and you're like, ah, yes, you are just a dog on a leash. When the Lone Wanderer shows up, you can overhear a conversation between Crimson and Clover. Clover suggests to Crimson to go speak to the Lone Wanderer. So then maybe the Lone Wanderer will buy Crimson so Clover can have Eulogy all to herself. Even though Clover is, and I quote, Daddy's favorite, he will do whatever he can to get her out of the way. And if you ask Eulogy what makes Clover so special, he'll say, I'll tell you why. Because Clover's the craziest girl I've ever seen. And I'm an expert in crazy girls. Crazy in a fight, crazy in the sack, crazy in every which way but loose. But most of all, she's crazy in love with whoever's holding her leash. And for the low cost of 1,000 caps, Miss Clover could be crazy for you. Or if you have really good barter, she could be yours for 500 caps. This dude does not value women, does not value human life. Only 500 caps for the Lady of the Night. And she becomes in love with you. She forgets instantly about her daddy, Eulogy Jones, and thinks about the Lone Wanderer, and only the Lone Wanderer. If she becomes your companion, you have to have evil karma in either 1,000 or 500 caps. If dismissed, Clover returns to Eulogy's pad in Paradise Falls, even if everyone there is already dead. And then you can rehire at any time as long as you have the right karma and there is no caps being paid out. Even after, this is how brainwashing works, even after you buy her and she's your companion. So here's the thing, did I free her or not? Because she's still my slave. That's kind of how I feel about Sharon too. Like, yeah, you free him, but you buy his contract. There's no thing that gives you like the option to rip up his contract and be like, hey, you can stick around if you want, or you're free. I don't own you anymore. Little things about her are weird that'll turn her hostile. Like if you pick the gate at the Temple of the Union, she'll just turn hostile. If she catches you stealing too many times while in Paradise Falls, she'll turn hostile on you. She's also one of the only two companions in Fallout 3 that require evil karma. It's her and Jericho. Despite being called a slave in-game, the game files show that Clover actually has the Slaver class instead, and her tag skills being barter, melee weapons, and small guns. And her slave collar adds 3 points of damage resistance, and it doesn't deteriorate. That's great, so it's just an invincible slave collar. She also has the highest carrying capacity out of all human companions, accounting for her default equipment and the second highest amount of HP behind Star Paladin Cross. That's crazy. And that's really Clover. She's a character who I'm pretty sure I've gotten at least once, but I don't have any fondness towards. I always think it's neat when you can have a female companion because I'm a big fan of female characters in video games. Not huge on her. She makes me uncomfortable because I feel like I still own a slave. I don't feel like I freed anybody. I don't feel like I helped anybody. I just feel like I'm kind of walking around with my property. And I'm not big on that. But hey, maybe you are. I hope not like in a sexist way. I hope you've enjoyed that because that has been this week's lore. Hey guys, welcome to segment 3, the third segment. I must say that every week. If I do, let me know, because I say that one in segment 3, a top 3 segment of all time. So we talked a little bit about unionization last week and how awesome it is that most of the video game industry is slowly beginning to unionize, right? And now we have to talk about this week, SAG-AFTRA. This comes from Stephen Totillo, the same guy we were speaking about last week, at Stephen Totillo. Breaking: SAG-AFTRA video game voice and performance actors are going on strike midnight tonight. This is from 7/25/24. Tweet itself: we are not going to consent to a contract that allows companies to abuse AI to deter to the detriment of our members. Enough is enough. And that's from the AG-AFRA president, Fran... Hold on, Fran Drescher? No way. Hold on. You're telling me the nanny? Hold on a second. Fran Drescher, union president? Dude, there's no way that the nanny is a union president. That's wild. Oh my God, she is. That's nuts. Fran Drescher has been elected to be this. This is from Variety.com. Hold on a second. Fran Drescher and Joelle Fisher reelected to lead SAG-AFTRA as strike nears 2-month mark. When is this article from? 23. Holy shit, dude. The nanny. The nanny's pro-union. Okay, so here's what we got to talk about. That nanny job was not union. That's crazy. Okay, so from what I understand... I've been into a lot of Star Wars. I've been into Star Wars way too much this year, but I've been getting into it again. I found a fucking, I was at a hobby shop with some friends and they had the lightsabers from Galaxy's Edge in Disney World. And the guy was like, I was like, hey, what colors are these? And the guy's like, put the batteries in. And like, I've been super into it. I put the batteries in and it was my favorite. It was purple. And I was like, yeah, Mace Windu, fuck yeah, let's go. And James Earl Jones has said he's not doing Darth Vader anymore. And there's so much footage of him doing or audio of him doing it that with AI they could essentially say, we're going to take James Earl Jones's voice and just continue to use him as Darth Vader through AI and maybe get an impersonator to fill in the gaps. There's a musician, I'm going to call him a musician because he does a lot of ghostwriting and stuff apparently, by the name of Glorb. You've probably seen some of his stuff. He does a lot of SpongeBob covers in a weird way where he'll sing like a song about flipping bricks and Bikini Bottom. They're fun and I hate that I get excited when I see them because when the Larry the Lobster one goes really hard and the Sandy Cheeks one goes incredibly hard, but we're not talking about that right now. What I'm saying is there's audio AI that was like when the presidents, the ex-presidents and the president were playing Minecraft together. And then there's where someone tries to do an impression and then AI fills in the gaps. And that's the big thing. Because if there's enough audio, like say I'm an actor and I'm also a voice actor and there's enough audio of my voice just floating around, they can just take that and get someone who sounds kind of like that. And then I'm out of a job. And that's the biggest thing that Fran Drescher, it's wild, is the president of SAG-AFTRA for voice acting. Can we talk about how Fran Drescher's voice is so piercing and she's representing these people as president during the voice actor strike? There's a beautiful, I don't know if that's irony or what, but that's fantastic. This is like a really good thing. This is going to affect, I read somewhere, I believe it was on Twitter, this is going to affect GTA 6. Guess what? Can I be honest with you? Can I tell you guys and gals something and they thems something real quick? GTA 6 was not coming out in 25. It wasn't. There's no way it was. I don't think a single Rockstar game ever has come out when they said it was going to come out. It's coming out in 26 or 27. I highly doubt that in 25 GTA 6 is coming out. So these voice acting strikes, I bet have voice acting, from what I understand, is done either super early or super late in the production cycle. It's like, let's get the main lines of dialogue so we can build characters around it. We can get a feel. Tell me if you knew this. Voice actors are modeled after their characters are modeled after the voice actors because it's easier to animate onto them. So the character might not look exactly like them, but the mouth shape or like the jaws, because they'll watch the actor act and then go from there. So I've seen where the scenes are already in animatic form and the voice actor has to learn the lines and then project onto the character and match the way the words kind of sync up with their mouths and back and forth, whatever. something like a Grand Theft Auto, I can only imagine they do all of the ancillary stuff first, where they get all the NPCs and, like, you know, like the sound effects of someone on fire. And like, one of my favorites is CJ when he's taking photos. He goes, yeah, I'm shooting the camera. Like, all that stuff is probably done first, and then they'll do the mocap and the mouth stuff for the cutscenes and what have you. This is a good thing. You want your games made correctly, right? You want the people who make the games to be happy so they continue to make games, right? This is a good thing. I'm excited to see where this goes. This has been going on for about a week, maybe a little more, by the time this episode is out. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode, because that's all I have for you this week. My name has been Vince. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. And you can get all of his music, all of his free tunes, all of his slappers, heaters, boppers, and skippers over on silvermansounds.com/free-music. I would like to thank the Patreon once again. Check out the link in the description below for the Patreon. I'd like to thank Marcus, who's here with us tonight. If you like the show, consider throwing a couple dollars that way, or check out the Redbubble, or even better, just listen to the show and share it with a friend. Link in the description below to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. I love you guys. I'll be seeing you next week. I hope you guys are safe. It's almost time to go back to school, if that's what you're doing this year with your life. I'm proud of you. I love you. And I'll be seeing you very, very soon. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.